When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Doug McClure, head of Illinois Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back here again, Steve.
I want to focus our conversation on a couple things. First, just what the atmosphere is out there. I know you have your ear to the ground and hear from a lot of Chicago CEOs, a lot of people in the C-suite. Are companies feeling bullish or bearish as we start the year here?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of conversations with our client base right now. And, you know, we walked into last year in 25 as well as 26 with a lot of optimism. I think throughout the first quarter slash April of last year, things changed once Liberation Day hit. And we're probably seeing a similar category where you had a lot of optimism, but some reaction to some recent, you know, socio-political news. You know, obviously the Iran war might have some impacts on oil, might change that. But on the whole, there's still a pretty strong sense of optimism amongst the clients that we're talking to.
An annual survey by KPMG showed that companies' confidence was really high. As a matter of fact, growth, the executives that were surveyed by this, 98% of them said they're confident in their company's growth. 86% were confident about Chicago's growth prospects this year. 81% said they plan to boost their headcounts this year. And only 14% were planning reductions in their staffs. Those sound like pretty good numbers.
And they are. And they're very similar to the conversations that we're having. You know, growth in M&A opportunities is also something that has piqued a lot of our client base's interest. I'd say their optimism is a lot higher in their own company as compared to the broader economic winds that they might be facing. But 25 was a tough year, and they managed through that tough year pretty well. Balance sheets are clean, and they can be thoughtful about where they're spending their capital and who they're looking to hire. Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yeah, and we'll talk with your commercial real estate colleague about this in a future thought leader conversation. But 64% of them said they plan to boost their footprint this year as well.
Well, we would very much welcome that, especially for office and downtown, you know, whether it's partial days, you know, working in the office. I'd say that's still a headwind that we're fighting as it relates to return to work at this category, mostly for professional services firms. Obviously, the manufacturers that are out in the suburbs have been back, you know, close to 5-6 days out of the week here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it would be a nice area to see some increased demand in that category.
Yeah, downtown office vacancy hit a record high for the 14th straight quarter at the end of 2025, even though more people are going back to work more days a week. Talk to us a little bit about the headwinds that you mentioned earlier. I know some of that's at the very macro level, but give us a sense of what those roadblocks might look like once they develop.
Yeah, of course. And look, there's been one thing after the other since the I guess, middle of 2020 with COVID here. But I think for what we're seeing right now, whether it was rising interest rates a couple years ago, inflationary impacts that we saw that was close to double digits, again, a couple years back. But when it comes to the tariff situation and international sourcing, it's just been, you know, challenging and constraining the supply chain. And then when you combine that with potential changes in our oil and gas markets and how they might impact the consumer, I think the ability for us to plan for what's going to come is still challenged. And obviously, businesses do not like uncertainty. Mm-hmm. But I think as it relates to the consumer itself, it almost feels like there's a break of those that are doing well, and those that are not, that are living paycheck to paycheck or month to month. That part of the economy is a bit more challenged. So to see where the consumer demand pulls through for where our clients, you know, demand is coming from is still to be seen here in 26.
Yeah, because over the last part of last year, these companies that responded to the survey said that they saw rising sales during that period. So people were spending money, at least some people were spending money at their businesses.
Yeah, again, I'd say consumer demand still remains strong. And I think resilient is that word. And I think also companies are just managing through this really well. I almost think that a lot of these companies have learned so much from the 08 through 2010 crisis. I mean, you saw 40%, 50% drawdowns in volumes and sales. And so they're very purposeful for how they've reacted to whatever they're facing these days.
And also from the COVID pandemic, I think they learned a lot from the COVID pandemic. And a lot of this feels really familiar. The gas price is going up again, almost 90 cents since the end of last month. We've been here before and done this before. And so maybe those lessons are going to help push us through this.
Yeah, I would agree. And one thing that would be really beneficial for us is we did start to see capital expenditures or CapEx business investments start to take a downturn last year. And what I mean by that is when you had considerable issues from tariffs and it creates that uncertainty, you start to press pause a little bit on where you want to spend your money to get the return that you need. So we did that in 25 really without the business investment. So if we can see that start to increase this year, the consumer demand has really driven a lot of the success from last year. The outcome, I remain, is optimistic, of course, for 26 and beyond.
Yeah. We won't get into interest rates because that's you have to almost have a crystal ball for that. But there are a couple of things that might impact that. And I know these companies, the lower their interest rates on things, the faster that they can pay off debt and do some of these projects that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And the way I would almost reframe this isn't so much is – are the interest rates going to go down by 25 basis points or 50 basis points over the course of the next couple months here? It's almost the trend. And the trend has been downward. And that downward trend allows for our clients to think through where to spend their capital. I'd say it's less impactful, again, for our clients that we work with. However, what we really haven't seen is even though rates have come down since last September, we really haven't seen residential mortgage rates commensurately drop. And you've got a lot of individuals that are sitting on 2.25%, 2.5% 30-year fixed mortgages. They're not moving. So household formations are delayed. They have been delayed for 10 plus years. And you've got what has become an asset in a 2.5% mortgage rate. I'd say the turnover has been slow and household formations also been delayed. If there is an ability to get our home residential market back up and running, again, that would be a nice boost for us. But we've been succeeding, or our clients have been succeeding despite those pressures.
I know that on one of the back ends of that we've not seen a lot of home construction happening either, new home construction, new apartment construction. Is any of that in the pipeline that might spark the market a little bit?
So it's there, and it's definitely regional, and it's definitely even within the sub-region. There's certain pockets that are doing better than others. I'm clearly not the expert on the residential mortgage side of the house. But again, I think there's certain areas of our geography that are doing better than others. I think the cost of construction has been the main driver of why that's been less economical than historical periods. And although we say CPI or inflation's down, when we still experience 8 to 10% inflation a couple years ago, until we see a deflationary period, we're not going to see the cost of production of these new homes actually go on the decline.
It's interesting you bring up that word deflation. Does that happen? Do we see deflation after periods of really high inflation?
We've seen it before, and I'm not sure if it's a great thing. Again, I'm not an economist here, but as it relates to the risk that our clients are taking, if our clients take on a heavy level of inventory and the price of that inventory that they started to build goes down, it cuts into their profit margin. So if there's deflationary pressures, I'm not overly concerned if it's just under 1% or under 0%. What I would be concerned by is we saw heavy deflationary pressures that are in the 5 or 10% category. But again, we're seeing 2%, 2.5% CPI right now. That's still based on a level from 2 years ago at 10%. That's still embedded in the cost of general goods in the economy.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but we did get the new producer price index. That's the producer inflation level. It was up 0.75% from last month, now at 3.4%, and it's one of the highest readings we've had in more than a year or so. This is even before the Iran war started. Are you concerned that we're going to see, with oil and gas prices, that inflationary number jump considerably?
Well, I think the oil and gas demand, of course, the cost to move goods does get embedded in the ability for that to be passed along or not passed along. But the cost of gas at the pump is much more focused on, again, the individual end user as compared to general businesses. The producer price index almost takes into account CPI a couple months before. So if we start to see a trend, not just last month, but this month and next month, that PPI continue to run a little hot, you might start to see some impacts for CPI a couple months from now. If that trend remains continued, it would have my yellow flags up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So far, our clients have had that ability to still manage through those costs, find alternatives, source differently, and still make sure they're providing the quality products they need for their customers to still drive demand through.
As you have these conversations with your clients about the state of things, what is your advice to them if they ask you, hey, Doug, what should we be doing over the next 6 months to a year in terms of planning?
Well, luckily they do a lot of the stuff in Q4, regardless, as they plan for the next year that's forthcoming. I think the ability to have one, two, three other alternative scenarios that, hey, if this happens, here's how I might react. I think 25 was really challenged because you were one tweet away from a different tariff policy that if you had a business meeting for the last week on this, it does throw a wrench into your plan. So I think having that planning, having that information at the ready from your chief financial officer, sharing that with your appropriate advisors, those would be your accountants, your lawyers, your banking partners as well, making sure everybody's informed, engaging advice for what they're seeing as well. I think one thing we've done a great job of is we've seen some prospective clients or customers of ours have these issues. We have actually put those like-minded businesses in touch with each other to share those lessons mm-hmm. with each other. So as much as I think having an informed banking partner is very helpful, having a group of other CEOs that you can talk to if you're a business owner, I still think is the best way to kind of create this group of like-minded individuals to solve these problems together.
And if you had to pick a winner coming out of any sector in the area, in the Chicago area, what would it be? Who's doing better than others?
I don't like to short-term think here. There's certain industries that are still challenged, of course, and we've seen challenge for a few years in trucking. We've seen anyone focused on commercial real estate office that's been challenged. I think anyone that says retail exposure, depending on which category of retail consumer, there's been some pressures there. I still like to partner with long-term thinkers. People are thinking in generations or decades as compared to trying to simply hit the next quarterly budget. If you are having to plan month to month or quarter to quarter based upon what's coming at you, I would encourage those individuals to just get more forward thinking. I mean, a good idea too is this artificial intelligence trend that has been very significant over the last 12 months. Everyone tends to look at this as, well, what might this impact our workforce? How can we reduce expenses? I would almost encourage you to almost flip that on its head. And to start to think through how does this increase your revenue streams? How can this be more of a revenue derivation source, utilizing your data to solve problems collaboratively with their respective client base? I think that's the most significant, massive impact for AI that we just don't quite have a good pulse on quite yet.
It seems like a really good place to leave it, Doug. Thank you for the conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Again, thanks for always having me on here, Steve. Best way to reach out is via LinkedIn, of course, or you can reach me via email at doug.mcclure, that's M-C-C-L-U-R-E, @associatedbank.com.
All right, Doug, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Steve.